hello everyone. My name's Bailey and I am a part of the team here at Seeds, and I have the privilege this morning of continuing our Hollywood Jesus series. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at movies and sort of how we can find Jesus and how we can find the gospel in movies. And so today we're going to be looking at Gladiator. It's a great movie. And I believe that God has put a word on my heart. I believe that there is someone here today that needs to hear this, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm really blessed to be able to be a part of an amazing church. If you are here and you're maybe visiting because it's January and people like to go church shopping in January a little bit, or maybe you've been coming here for a couple of weeks and you're looking for a new home, welcome home. It's great to have you. If you're visiting from another church, send our blessing to another church. But this is an awesome church. I've been a part of this church since I was one, so a very long time. I'm now 22, so that is 21 years. Quick maths. But it is awesome. So welcome. And I'm so excited to bring this word this morning. I'm very grateful to be supported by an amazing team of pastors and staff, and I just want to honor JD, whatever you like. I started my last message by paying him out a little bit. So I thought I'd start this one by saying thank you so much for letting me do this, and you're just awesome. And anyway, that's it. He is great. So we are going to be looking at Gladiator this morning. How many of you have seen this incredible film? Oh, so many more people than Smallfoot last week. That is awesome. Now, Gladiator, it came out in 2000, directed by Ridley Scott, Russell Crowe. It won Best Picture in 2000, so if you haven't seen it, it is good. And it's very good. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. I'm not going to spoil too much for you. I'm not going to give you the ending because it is definitely worth a watch. But here we go. See if you can follow along with all the Greek names, because I can't. The film centers on the Roman general Maximus, a man who holds on to his integrity at all costs. Just before the death of Marcus Aurelius, leader of Rome at the time, he tells Maximus of his dream that power be returned to the people and asks Maximus to become the protector of Rome. Maximus responds that he cannot do this, for he never lived in Rome, nor is he a senator. Besides, he doesn't want power. He simply wants to get home from the war and resume life with his family on his farm. Aurelius replies that it is precisely because you don't want it that you must take it. Aurelius sees Maximus's integrity. This integrity stands in stark contrast to Aurelius's power-hungry son, Commodus, who will do anything to gain the title of emperor. Spoiler alert, even murdering his father. That happens in like the first 10 minutes, so it's okay to spoil that bit. Seeing Maximus as a potential rival, Commodus orders him, his wife, and his young son to be murdered. Maximus escapes, but is unable to save his family. He is captured, sold into slavery, and forced to fight as a gladiator. He fights with vastly superior ability to everyone he meets in the ring, and eventually comes to Rome, where he grows famous among the people. Once his true identity is revealed, his fame again makes him rival to the emperor. The emperor's rivals, who like Aurelius wish to restore power to the people, plot to have Maximus released from slavery and return to his army, where he will march upon Rome, take it, restore power to the people, and then leave. As was Marcus Aurelius, so these senators are so confident in Maximus's integrity, they know he will walk away from power having gained it. What holds the key to Maximus's integrity is revealed early in the film, where he cries to his troops, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." What we do in life echoes in eternity. I heard that in the movie. I thought it was very cool. I thought that's a very cool line. And then I found out that my favorite basketball player, LeBron James, actually has it tattooed across his biceps. So I decided to get one too. I'm joking. I didn't actually. You should have seen the 9 a.m. service. They were like, "Oh, no, no, it can't be. Don't get a tattoo." Hey, tattoos are fine, by the way. Sorry, Mum. Now, what we do in life echoes in eternity. In the context of the film, Maximus says this to his men before entering into battle. And for those days in the Roman Empire, many of the Romans were polytheistic, which meant they had multiple gods. And they would do acts in life in order to please them, to then be sent to the afterlife. But for us, the meaning of this quote can look very different. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 2 this morning. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to get it out. But if not, it's okay. It's going to be up on the screen. So Ephesians 2, starting from verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me pray. God, thank you for this opportunity for us to come into worship, to come and hear from you. And God, I pray that the word that you've put on my heart, that it would just speak so clearly to everyone, and that you would reveal yourself to us. We would be able to go deeper in your word, even using Hollywood. Amen. Awesome. So, at the end of the KidVenture highlight video, we saw a little segment from Bounce. Has anyone ever been to Bounce before? Or Latitude or anything of the same sort of thing? Basically, if you don't know what it is, it's a giant warehouse full of trampolines, foam pits, rock climbing walls, all that kind of stuff. It's essentially like a school holiday nightmare. And I went there a couple of months ago and stupidly enough went smack bang in the middle of the school holidays. And I didn't go there with kids. I went there with my girlfriend and we thought it would be a fun date. But we spent the whole day waiting in line, being pushed in front of in line, and then leaving the line because there were too many kids. And I think there were about 4 different birthday parties, maybe 3 different OSH groups. There was just so many kids. And this was at Latitude, and Latitude has a lot of trampolines to bounce on. It has foam pits. There's like a high rope course. There's like trampolines in front of basketball rings, which you can dunk on, which is fun. But as we were going through the day, I was watching these kids do this certain activity. And what it was a massive foam pit with a pole that went across the top of the foam pit, which is about this high from the foam. And essentially what you had to do was stand on one side of the pole each, walk across with these giant cushioned mallets. And appropriately, this was named the Gladiator Pit. And what you had to do was take your massive cushioned mallet and push your opponent into the foam pit, into their death of foam. And so it was hilarious watching these kids. And as these kids were doing it, there was this one kid that just dominated. Every single kid that would come before him, he would smack over the head, or he would push into the foam, or maybe he might play with them for a little bit and have a couple of hits and then just throw them into the foam. And he just was unstoppable. It got to a point where he would take his mallet and raise it above his head and cry victory because no one could stop him. Now, this was hilarious to watch because this kid was probably about 6 and it was just very small. And there's something about violence that's really funny when it's really small. I don't know. It's just funny. But it was interesting watching this kid. Who knows what he was fighting for? Who knows what his motivation was? Who knows what was giving him an advantage above everything else? But he just kept going until eventually he just got bored and jumped in the pit himself. See, in Gladiator, we see our protagonist, Maximus. He destroys all opponents in front of him. in whatever arena he was in. But we know his motive. His motive was not only to please his gods, but to fight for what is right. And as I was going through this movie and sort of trying to adapt it for us today, I wasn't going to talk about the revenge and the violence and all that kind of stuff, so we'll steer clear of that, but it's still a great movie. But we're going to talk about a few different things. One of the clear things in the movie was the people that Maximus had around him. So our first point, because all good sermons have 3 points, so we're going to have 3. Our first point is, who is in your corner? So in Gladiator, we see Maximus always fighting with other people. He's never fighting alone. And there's one point in the movie, it's his first gladiator fight in the Colosseum. He says to his men, whatever comes out of these gates, we've got a better chance of survival if we work together. If we stay together, we survive. Have you ever got to a point in your life where you wonder, how the heck did I get here? What has caused me to get to this position? And for me, a couple of years ago, I found myself in a really tough position. I had some really toxic people around me. I was in a toxic relationship and I had toxic friendships and I was being directly affected by it. There's no one here, so you don't have to worry if that was you. But I was able to recognize this and I was able to change the people around me, change who I allowed to have influence in my life. And I was able to come back to the person that I was created to be. Yes, I did always have good people around me, and a lot of you are here today, but there were just those few minorities that were providing that negative influence on me that I allowed to have the loudest voice. Now, I'm not saying that you need to look at your friends list on Facebook and just get rid of everyone, because that's probably not going to be super helpful, but you have to hear what I'm saying. I got to a point in my life where the people in my life didn't describe the future that I wanted. I was suffering, I was lonely, but I was able to make a real change in my life. I changed who in my life I allowed to directly influence me, which really just meant I listened more to my parents because they were always there, but I just never really listened, so sorry about that. One of the best ways to identify where you're going is who you're actually going with. The more people we have around us that are in our corner, fighting with us, the more we can actually do in life. This also means that you could be that person for someone else. You could actually be that person who might be bringing someone down. I would hope not, but we are also those people that can pick up our friends along the way and take them to where we know they're supposed to be. You see, no one has done anything in life good by themselves. If you want to succeed, if you want to go far, you have to find your people. So we've talked about who is in your corner, who we're allowing to directly influence us. And now we're going to what is in your corner. Thanks, James. Hey, James and Luke. Is Luke there? You guys are great. Just let's give a round of applause for our tech team. Just as Luke walks in, we're thanking you, by the way. I think he was getting some water. That's cool. Anyway, you guys are great. Thanks for being here. So, what's in your corner? Commodus, our rival, the enemy of the film. He's the man that stepped in to take over Rome. He had everything, but he couldn't find meaning or purpose. So often in today's culture, we can get caught up with what kind of job we have, how much money we have, how well-behaved our kids are. All of your kids are perfect, of course. We can also get caught up on how many Instagram followers we have. And I mean, just look at the last week. We've been paying all this attention to how many likes a picture of an egg could get. Was anyone following that? I think it was 48 million likes on a picture of an egg. And it got all this media attention. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was very funny. But if we allow something like that to become more of a priority to us than coming to church, than investing in our people, than having a relationship with God, then what is all that stuff worth? You see, when we come to church, it's actually not about a social gathering. It's not about seeing our friends once a week and saying good day and then leaving. It's not a place where we just come and sing some songs that might be too fast, might be too slow, might be too loud, too soft. I think it's too soft. It's not about just listening to some random person speak on stage for 20 minutes, but it's actually about coming together in community to worship God. Nothing else. And if you're here and you're coming to church for any other reason than God, then what's the point? When it comes down to the thick of it, when we strip away everything else, God actually just wants you. He doesn't care about all that other stuff. He just wants you. He wants to be in a loving, inclusive relationship with you. And it really doesn't matter about that other stuff. I heard this pastor talk about worship and how when we worship, it creates this effect around us. And I believe that it's the same when we engage in a relationship with God. See, when we have a relationship with God on a vertical level, so we are in relationship with God, we're walking with God on a vertical level, then that actually extends to become horizontal to the people around us. That God actually allows us to have greater and better relationship with the people around us. And it allows us to lift those people up as well. And maybe they will see what you have and want that too. So we've talked about who you're putting in your corner, who you're allowing to have influence in your life. We talked about what you're putting in your corner. We need to be surrounding ourselves with the right things. And I'm not going to talk for much longer, but we don't want to shy away from what we're going to say. I'd love to get the band up, if that's all right. You guys are awesome too. So our passage for today talks about how we actually don't deserve God. And we don't deserve what he has given us. But because of his great love for us, we have been saved through grace. And our last point is your cornerstone. See, Ephesians 2, it actually goes on to talk about the cornerstone. If we read further down, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." I love that last verse, that we become a place where God comes and lives. See, Jesus is our cornerstone. He's our supporter. He's our focus. If we are able to recognize that Jesus is the one that is always in our corner, he's our rock, our hope, we don't actually need to be afraid of the future because he has it in control. If we take a look back on Gladiator, the whole time our protagonist is looking at how he can please the gods. But for us, there's actually nothing that we have to do to earn our salvation. For Christians, for us, it's because of grace that what we do in life echoes in eternity. You see, for us, the battle has already been won. The fight has already been fought. When Christ died on the cross, he died for you and he died for me. And then guess what? Another spoiler. 3 days later, he rose again and defeated sin. Because of this, because of grace, we have actually already been accepted into his family. All you have to do is just ask, and he will come into your life. I love everyone to stand. We are not going to shy away from this. We believe that God calls us to be a part of his family. He wants you. He longs for you. This isn't like any other religion where it might be a 4-step plan for us to get into the afterlife. This is a 1-step plan. All it takes is for you to ask Jesus to enter your heart. I'm going to pray in a moment, and my prayer is that if you haven't already, in this moment you would discover the author of life and love, the Lord Jesus Christ. His life and death represent the greatest gift of love that the world will ever see. See, God paid the ultimate price for us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that we can come to God. All we need to do is accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Putting our trust in Him. It starts with a decision to turn towards Jesus with your whole life and a simple prayer, asking Him to meet and forgive you right where you are, and He will give you a brand new life living in relationship with Him. If you haven't personally invited Jesus into your life, or maybe you feel distant from God and you feel like you need to do this again, then we're going to pray in a moment, and we're going to pray all together as brothers and sisters, as a family here at church. We're going to say this prayer all together, regardless of whether we have given our lives to Christ or not, but we're going to say it all together to support those around us who need to do this. And as we pray, I invite you to close your eyes, and if you feel some stirring on your heart, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. This is between you and God. All you need to do is maybe just put your hands out to receive. Maybe you need to just ask God to enter your heart. So let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying on the cross for me.
Thank you for dying on the cross for me.
Thank you for your amazing love.
Thank you for your amazing love.
I turn away from my sins.
I turn away from my sins.
And ask for your forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Please come into my life and give me a fresh start.
Please come into my life and give me a fresh start.
I trust you and submit to you.
I trust you and submit to you.
I am now a Christian.
I am now a Christian.
A child of God.
A child of God.
And a follower of Jesus Christ.
And a follower of Jesus Christ.
Help me to live my life for you.
Help me to live my life for you.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. If you have felt this stirring on your heart, then we're going to sing this song together, and we're going to declare that Jesus is our cornerstone. He's our hope. He's everything to us. And maybe you're here for the first time and you're thinking, I don't know anything about this, but this sounds pretty cool. Then I would encourage you, as we sing this song, just let these words be your prayer. Let these words wash over you as we sing. Thank you, team.